Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of affordable housing. If you build it, they will come. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator and speaker, a consultant, the fabulous Jenna Juniper, president of and CEO of Panessa Juniper Consulting. Welcome, Jenna.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Well, affordable housing, it's something that some people don't really like to talk about. There's a lot of challenges there that people have across the country. As a matter of fact, I just saw a news report that the newly elected mayor of the second largest city in the country, Karen Bass, declared an emergency her first day in office to deal with the homelessness issue there, which is also part of the the challenge with affordable housing. So let's kind of dive into the need for affordable housing. I'm sure you have some statistics you can share with our audience. What are they?
Yes. Well, and let's back up a little bit too. The reason why we're seeing such an increase in the need for affordable housing and the increase in homelessness is really a result of our lockdown and quarantine. We saw, as a result of that, all of a sudden these rents were skyrocketing, and families that used to be able to afford an individual rent payment in a market rate community can no longer afford that rent. And so they're looking for alternative means to basically take care of their families and provide a roof over their head. So we're now seeing a massive influx of new families come in needing our services. And so we can't even build housing as quick as it's needed. So you're right, there are a lot of studies out there that show us some statistics to give us an idea as to where we're standing at right now. Right now for homelessness, as of 2022, there's about 582,000 homeless individuals on the streets right now.
Wow.
That's over 500,000 individuals that are on that street. Isn't that ridiculous?
It is. It's unbelievable.
We can't build over 500,000 units in a year. It's just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we would love to, it's not going to happen. And out of that over 500,000 individuals that are homeless, 98,000 are youth.
Mm.
So we are trying to really impact generations here, not just one group. We want to impact generations, and building affordable housing is, like you said, not something a lot of people want to bring into their communities.
Yeah, it's the old NIMBY aspect. Tell our listeners what the acronym stands for. The NIMBY acronym. NIMBY stands for not in my backyard, is what people always who object to having affordable housing being built in the neighborhoods. That's kind of the reason why.
Their thought process. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not what we're seeing, actually. We are seeing affordable housing communities that are being developed in communities that really needed some help, that they're outdated. They might have needed to bring land values up, or they've got community centers that are just sitting being demolished or not even being used. And so we're really going in and trying to get creative in where we put these communities to really make an impact, not just in that location, but in that entire city. And it's a struggle. It really is a struggle. We've gotten pushback in several cities of trying to develop housing where we're either limited to location or it's simply being rejected by city officials. It's not something they want in their individual cities. And it's quite unfortunate because right now, some of the biggest states that need all this additional housing, there's not enough legislature or not enough funding to help them build it. So there's actually four states that are in desperate, desperate need of affordable housing right now. The number one is California. Then it's followed by New York, and then Washington and Florida were tied for spot number three. So we really have some high-end states that need housing as soon as possible.
Let's talk about when housing is built. You know, what is the for instance, the time it takes to lease up?
Well, right now, we say it's less than 30 days, and that's still typically pretty industry standard. What we're noticing is some properties have anywhere between 3 to 5 year wait lists. We can fill these properties so quickly with all of the supportive service agencies that are out there that we're partnering with. Everyone is really working as a team to try and fill these communities as soon as possible. So when we say, if you build it, no worries filling it, we mean it. It's within 30 days, we are seeing properties built and fully occupied, which is fantastic for not only the families, but for our owners and agencies as well.
You know, I visited an affordable community a few years ago. I guess it was before the pandemic. And I was talking with the manager, and she said, yes, we have a two-year waiting list. And I said, oh my gosh, who's going to wait 2 years to find a place to live? And she said, well, that's just it. It's technically a 2 year wait list, but when we have a unit available and it comes around to their term to have an opportunity to get it, they've already found another place. So but that doesn't mean that there's not they're not easy to fill. It just means that, it kind of was enlightening to me that, people put their name on a list, and a lot of times they've already got a place. So it's good to have that long list to be able to pull from.
Correct. Yes, and we see that all the time where we will do a massive intake of applications because we have a few vacancies coming up, and we'll get a lot of people that will say, we've already filled our vacancy, we've already found another location, just like you said. But a lot of the times, it might be a few years later, they might be open to moving to a different location, or their financial situation might have changed and they might need that additional assistance now. So for ownership and management companies, having these long wait lists is a peace of mind.
Exactly.
And security for their properties. But yes, and for anybody out there that is looking for affordable housing, I would even advise that you put your name on multiple wait lists. It's increase your odds, get on as many wait lists as possible so you have the opportunity and the chance sooner than not even having your name there.
You know, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, a lot of times people have said, who don't really understand the need or don't understand, the challenges that are out there, that affordable housing is basically a handout. What do you say to that?
I would completely disagree with it. Affordable housing is not a handout. It is a hand up. It's an opportunity. It's a way to give someone another chance and provide them with hope. I know we're going to talk later on my story and how this was an opportunity of hope for me, but really, affordable housing opens so many doors for families, not just having a roof over your head. We have supportive services. We link individuals up with other agencies. So we are really trying to make sure that we're not just providing a roof over their head. We are giving them the services that they need. So it's not a hand up. Hand out. It is a hand up. We are going to help families. That's our goal.
Well, we're going to break it here because when we get back, I do want to talk to you a little bit about some of those services because we've mentioned them a couple of times during this segment. Some of the services that are typically available in affordable communities. But we'll be back right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of affordable housing. If you build it, they will come. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator, speaker, and consultant, the fantastic Jenna Juniper, president and CEO of Panessa Juniper Consulting. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So in the first segment, Jenna, at the very end of the segment, you'd mentioned some of the services that are typically available at affordable communities. And I want to kind of take a deeper dive into that to let our audience know what's available, what a lot of properties are doing, and find out if does it differ based on where the property is located. So what do you see out there?
Yes. So we're seeing a lot of new communities that are being built are providing our residents with a wide array of supportive services. It's not just one simple, let's just give you a community room or a fitness center. We are really coming in with these services to ensure that we are helping these households and families as they come in. So a few of the items that we're putting on, or support services we're putting on these properties, are food pantries. We're partnering with local food banks and putting on food pantries. And so we're having deliveries that are being done anytime between 2 to 3 times a week. And residents are able to go into the office or into an actual pantry and take the food that they need whenever they need it. So no one is going hungry. There's no families going hungry. We're not having that as a barrier for these households. We have several properties that have these food pantries active currently, and it is a complete success. There is not a single day that we don't have families walking in to get some food, or sometimes even several times a day to get food. So we know the food pantries are working. They are successful to our families, and that's one avenue where we will continue to put these on the properties. Mm-hmm. So that's one of them. Another one that we are very, very excited about that's just launched. Have you heard of Micro School Spa?
I have not heard of it, but I got a feeling of what it might be, but go ahead and tell us.
So micro schools are exactly what they sound like, small mini schools that we're putting on properties. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on an affordable community. If someone has a space that they'd like to donate, we're more than happy to go into that space. But it's a small school where 10 or more children can basically attend school Monday through Friday and know that they have a teacher there to assist them in their curriculum. And it can be ages, I think it's all elementary school right now. The laptops are provided by this program, and there's a, I wouldn't say a certified teacher, but there is an instructor there with them to ensure that they get their schoolwork done on the laptop and through this e-learning portal for the full day. And what we're finding is these micro schools are helping parents out. They're allowing a parent to go to school. They're allowing a parent to get a job and know that their child is enrolled in a smaller school right on their property or nearby. Isn't it a great concept?
That is a great concept.
And what we're also seeing is we've got retired teachers who are volunteering for these positions. We actually never thought that launching this program would really involve retired teachers as much as it has. And so we have several properties right now, actually, two of them that have former retired teachers that are going in. I mean, I think they're off for fall break right now, but they should be going back here shortly. But they come in, they're there 7:30 in the morning, they get the pseudo classroom set up for the students, they're there with them until 3:30, 4 o'clock when they leave. And then as an added benefit, some of these properties include after-school programs. So the children just simply transition to another room then for after-school services that are all provided by agencies to assist these families. We are seeing children excel in school where they didn't excel. And that's why I said we're impacting generations. We're not just trying to provide a roof over someone's head. We want to help families all across the board. Isn't that a great concept?
It is a great concept. And I've heard of some support services for adults as well. What are some of those that are out there?
Yeah, there's a lot of adult supportive services out there. We've got job training programs that we partner with. We actually have individuals who are caseworkers that work on these properties and meet with our residents to help them with their resume building, with applying to jobs, if they need help finding clothing for their interviews. We even practice interviews with them. So we are ensuring that there are agencies either 24/7 on call, or they've got scheduled hours so our residents can take advantage of these free services to help them in their livelihood. So a lot of the job training programs have escalated. We have, I'd say, probably about 50% of my properties that are under our portfolio have some sort of job training program that's associated with them, or they're partnering with an agency that provides it. We're also partnering with schools for adults to go back to school. And that's where having these micro schools on site also help the parents out then. A single parent or parent who's trying to go back to school has that peace of mind that your child is in school all day, they're being successful, and they're nearby. And so we're really finding that that is a huge, huge impact in all of this.
And speaking of impact, we've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment. Tell us about what is the impact of affordable housing on generations as well as on communities?
Right now, we are seeing affordable housing impact generations all across the nation, which is why this is such a beautiful service that we're able to offer and expand across the nation. We are seeing grandparents who are raising now grandchildren and providing them the services or giving them the opportunities that they might not have had when they were being raised. And so grandparents are now bringing grandchildren into these apartments and giving them the additional services, the after-school programs, the additional educational benefits. And we are seeing grandchildren, children graduate from college, join our job training programs, be successful individuals, and ultimately get off the program or get off the affordable housing property because they no longer need it. They have the money. They can afford a property. We even offer and partner with some agencies for home buying assistance. And so we've got a lot of clients that are saving their money and then they are purchasing a home. So we really see that this is not something where it's being cyclical and generation after generation is staying in affordable housing anymore. We are really seeing, because of these supportive services, individuals are getting off affordable housing and they're standing on their own, which is wonderful. We couldn't be more proud.
How about the impact on communities?
We're seeing communities are really flourishing. What's interesting is communities that tend to really give us that pushback, they don't want the affordable property to be built, all of a sudden are opening their arms and welcoming these affordable properties, because when they see a rehab done and all of the updates and modifications that are not only typically made to the property, but to the exterior and sometimes to the community areas and parks around nearby, we're seeing communities are getting behind these properties. And now all of a sudden they're wanting to assist and bring in more services, hence some of like the micro schools. That was a result of seeing the positive impact that these properties have had. So one example that I do have for you is we've got a community here in Phoenix that was pushed back on building this affordable community. And so much so that the developer came in and said, I'll make you a deal. I will also clear up a local park as part of this project. And when they did that, all of a sudden the community fully backed it. And now we have community events with local agencies at this park. We're partnering with all the residents nearby. It has become such a staple for Phoenix in blending both market rate and affordable housing. So we can do some amazing things and impact the communities and generations.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're going to go ahead and break it here. We're going to be back with much more on this topic right after this message. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of affordable housing. If you build it, they will come. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator, speaker, and consultant, the incredible Jenna Juniper, president and CEO of Panessa Juniper Consulting. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Jenna, we talked a lot about in the last segment about the support services and so forth. Let's talk in this segment about how the public can help to support the need for affordable housing. What do you see?
Right now, we need all the public support we can get. The more assistance we get, the better right now. And what we're encouraging individuals to do is please write to your senators, your governors, your chamber officials, and request more affordable housing. Point out your homelessness statistics. Point out the areas in your communities where you really feel that might be potential for affordable housing, if you know of any. We really need more individuals voicing the need for affordable housing, and unfortunately, we're just not having that. We're finding it more in our industry, our specific industry. Our officials are voicing their opinions as much as they can and trying to get the word out there, but the more public support we can get, the better. And then, you know, we are also, Paul, like I mentioned earlier, we're also always trying to work with other agencies. Have you heard of a lot of other agencies that are, have started to getting into affordable housing that you never thought would ever get into affordable housing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. And so that's what we're really trying to work with, is a lot of new agencies that have never even considered getting into affordable housing. We're helping them through this process as well. We're trying to open the doors for many agencies to step in, because this isn't an industry where you have to have years and years of property management experience. You don't have to be an owner of 50 properties to get into the affordable housing industry. And so we are really pushing nonprofits, other agencies to get involved and to get their foot in the door so we can all make an impact on this need for affordable housing units across the United States. All right, we've got 500,000 units to build.
Tell me some of the major roadblocks that the industry runs into. You know, obviously people not wanting communities in their neighborhoods and things like that. Those are the obvious things. But what are some of the other roadblocks that you see out there that we need to find solutions for?
The biggest one, it's just construction. We are still delayed in construction. And so what used to take 12 to 16 months to build is now taking, you know, 18 to 24 months. And so that delay in construction is really, it is affecting us, because we want to get bodies in these units as quickly as possible. And unfortunately, we're not able to do so as quickly as possible. Now, the other thing we are really seeing is the lack of funding. We're running out of funding very quickly. While there are a lot of new programs that are certainly being released, and hopefully with some new administration too, we're going to see some new laws being passed to help us really expand the funding here. We run out of funds very quickly, and we can't even then help properties that need the help. So here's a great example I have for you. I've got a community that is in a rural part of a state, and they desperately need affordable housing. But because of their location, they attract more tourists. Mm-hmm. Building affordable housing in a tourist city is very, very difficult. That that base price to construct, and the land costs are so high that it's almost impossible to build any type of affordable housing there. And so I've got communities that are begging us to go in there. They don't get the funding that they need to build it because there's other locations and cities and counties that win the award before they do. And we don't have any regulation out there right now that then we'll go out and help these communities and build it where it's needed. So in a tourist city, you've got individuals who are working at these hotels and tourist facilities that are having to now take buses or drive anywhere between 30 to 60 minutes a day to get to work. They can't afford to live in that city. And so we're really seeing a high influx of the need there as well in our large tourist cities to help those families as well that support that.
Where does the funding come from primarily for affordable housing? Is it come from each state or does it come from the federal government? How does the funding break down?
Good question. So it just depends on the type of funding and where what program it is. The funding can come anywhere from state funding to HUD funding. It just simply depends on the program type. A large portion of it, though, does come from federal funds, so our HUD funding. But each state is given so much, a specific amount every year, and then that amount is dispersed amongst properties and new ownership each year. And it's done through an application process. So new owners or new developers every year have to submit an application to request to build a new property and for how much they are requesting in funding. And then your state agency will then review all the applications, distribute the funds appropriately. And typically you run out of funding very quickly. Once the application process is done, you use up all of your funds and you've allocated it for that year. So we're you know, some state agencies have anywhere between 5 to 30 new properties built every year. It just simply depends on the amount of funding and how many units are trying to be funded that specific year.
And that would be for the entire state?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. Yep. Because you have to think one apartment complex could be anywhere between 20 units to 150 units.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on how much each one needs. So we're typically building with state funds, around anywhere between 5 to 30, depending upon the state. Some states are larger, but that's what we're building. And keep in mind there's other funds out there that allows us to build more than that limit of number of properties. But, you know, for a 500,000 people that we need to try and find housing for, and that's just simply our homeless community, that doesn't even include families that are just lower income. We need the housing desperately across all of the United States.
And if somebody is in need of affordable housing, what are the steps they need to take in order to try and locate a place that they can live? Is it going through the local housing authorities?
Yes, that is such a great question, and I get asked that all the time. There's many resources for individuals who are looking for affordable housing. You can go through your local housing authority, and you could easily just do a quick Google search, type in your city, and then add the keywords housing authority at the end, and you'd most likely be able to find the one that's within your city. You can also go to HUD.gov, and there's a list of all affordable housing within the United States on their website. So you just select your state, kind of drill down into your city, and you can see a list of all, not only the management companies, but the actual names of the properties with their contact information. That is all available on HUD's website as well. There's always other avenues you can partner with your local churches, nonprofits, supportive service agencies. A lot of them have connections with some sort of housing agency. And if they don't, listeners are more than happy or more than welcome to reach out to me, and I can connect them with their local agency just to make sure that they do get partnered. Because right now, if anyone is looking for housing, we want to make sure that you have the resources available to you to find the housing. And they're all online. We can always find that information.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. As far as income restrictions, for someone to qualify for affordable housing? Is it a consistent number, or around the country, or does it vary by location?
Good question. Yeah, that also varies by location. So each county publishes their income limits on an annual basis. We typically get them right around spring to summer of every year. And those income limits are based on census data from a few years prior. And then it's updated every year based on the previous census data. So we see that number changing every year. So it's not one flat number for Texas as it is for Washington, as it is for New York. Each county has their own limits, and that's just not your income. They also determine, in some specific regards, your rent limits as well. So they cap it at what you can charge, and then they cap it at what the household can make. But, the range can be anywhere from $10,000 is the bare minimum, lowest income limit, all the way up to $80,000 for a family of 8 to 10. So it just depends on really the location and the county, but we do see an update done every year.
All right. Well, we're going to stop here with this segment, and we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of affordable housing. If you build it, they will come. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after educator, speaker, and consultant, the awesome Jenna Juniper, president and CEO of Panessa Juniper Consulting. We've covered a lot in our first three segments about affordable housing, obviously the needs for affordable housing and so forth. But you shared with me some of the details of your story, and how you came to do what you do. with affordable housing. Why don't you share what you can with our listeners? I think that's very, very interesting.
Yes, I definitely have a unique backstory on Section 8. And I always joke with my family and friends, no one says that they want, when they're younger, they want to grow up and be a Section 8 auditor. You want to develop properties. We grow up and say we want to be teachers and astronauts. I never thought I would end up in this career or even in this industry. This was the furthest thing from my mind. I was born and raised in Arizona. And I found myself as a single mom at the age of 18. And I was in an abusive relationship, a very, very unhealthy relationship. And I was looking for housing. I needed somewhere for my son and I to go where I could just have hope. I could have peace of mind. And a lady at a grocery store, in fact, referred me over to a property right across the street. And she said, I think you should go check it out. They base the property on your income. And I remember thinking, this is ridiculous. What property would be crazy enough to have your rent based on your income? They must be losing millions of dollars, but whatever, I'll go check it out. And I sat down and I met with the manager, and it was as if I finally had hope, Paul. I finally, as a mom, felt like I could give my son the roof over the head that he needed, and I could have a fresh start. And as this woman was interviewing me and gathering my pay stubs and then did the math calculations for me to determine my rent, and she turns around the piece of paper to show me what my rent portion would be, and I thought she was joking. It was such a low amount that there was no way this was really happening to me. And I knew that minute that this is what I wanted to do. This woman was giving me hope. She was giving me a second chance. I wanted to be able to do that for everyone else. Plus, it was like gathering all the documents and not having to pay the IRS or taxes at the very end. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I then went to a temp agency and said, I want to work in an apartment community. I didn't know how to verbalize affordable or Section 8. I just knew that I wanted to be able to give someone the opportunity to put a roof over their head and give them that hope or that peace of mind. And thankfully, this temp agency actually put me at a Section 8 property in a very hard part of town. And I started as the assistant manager there and was there for several years. And I just grew to love the paperwork. I'm sure you don't hear that very often.
No, you don't.
Yes, I love the paperwork. I love the calculations. I loved being able to tell people, here's what your rent portion is. Or sometimes even being able to tell them, you owe nothing. Your rent is covered. All you need to do is just cover your utilities and your food. Those conversations gave me such a sense of joy and fulfillment that I continued working in this industry. I then went and started working actually for a housing authority. And when I was with the housing authority, my specialty became fraud. And I would investigate fraud within tenant files to ensure that individuals who were trying to get the housing or who were currently on housing weren't committing fraud and hiding money or having it in different accounts, not telling us about income. And I was incredibly successful in doing that. It taught me certainly a lot of lessons, but I missed the hands-on making that direct impact. And so I was then recruited by a very large national property management and development chain as their director of compliance. And was then able to start traveling and seeing the impact on affordable housing nationally and being a part of that change, which is what just brought me so much joy.
Now, was that an eye-opening situation for you once you got to get out of your local area to see what's going on around the country?
Absolutely, absolutely, because you then see how your impact isn't just on that small little property. You're able to see how your impact on these properties is nationwide, it's community-wide, and how there's not just one family or a few families in your city that need help. There's millions. And It's very, very touching to see families be so appreciative and thankful for some of the housing that we're able to provide. for them. And especially over the holiday season, we've seen so much appreciation when we are moving individuals, and especially over the holiday season. So it's been a beautiful career that I've now had to have, or I've gotten to have, I should say. And 3 years ago, I decided that I wanted to be able to help more than just one company. It's great to work for one company, but I want to be able to help multiple organizations at the same time. And that's the reason why I decided I needed to go off on my own and open up Panessa Juniper Consulting and hire on. We've got several consultants right now. We've got 5 full-time, 3 part-time that work for us. And we're doing as much as we can to help owners and properties all across the nation. That's our goal.
So just to give our listeners an idea, what parts of the country are you consulting in now? And you know, what's the size of the number of properties, I guess, that you're impacting?
So right now we cover all across the United States. We're in pretty much every state. There's only a few we don't cover. And we work with every program except for rural development. That's the only one where we don't have any specialty in it. Mm-hmm. But we impact properties across the United States. Under our portfolio right now, we have about 15,000 units, which is quite substantial for a small consulting firm. And that's a number we hope to continue growing each year as we continue to grow and make an impact and even get our name and our company out there to help with some of these bills that are out there and the growing need for affordable housing. We are really going to stand behind some of these to help. It's needed. It's definitely needed.
What is the range of the type of clients that you have? Are they housing authorities? Are they individual developers? Or does it run the gamut?
It really runs the gamut, to be quite honest. I have everything from private owners to housing authorities to property management companies to financial institutions who simply just want another audit conducted. We're all across the board. We do everything from compliance training to property management training to file auditing and routine monitoring. A lot of the times our files have to be continually reviewed and have a second set of eyes on it. And we're seeing that due to high turnover within our industry, there's either late renewals, there's paperwork missing, or sometimes the paperwork's not even getting done. And so we're going in and being able to help these properties get caught up, stay in compliance, and then have that peace of mind going forward that they're good to go and they won't have any findings.
That's really one of the challenges as an owner, I think, of affordable housing is the compliance piece that you really have to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed to be able to offer this ongoing. And I'm sure that's what you help your clients do, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do all of the ongoing compliance from looking at the files every time there's an action or a certification done to helping with annual reporting or state reports, investor reports. We pretty much take the compliance headache away and handle everything. It's our passion and our area of expertise. So it's definitely something we provide those services for. And then as well, we go in and we train your staff so they know what they're doing. They're confident in what they're saying and in the paperwork they're collecting and going forward. Then in the process, we want to empower the staff members. We're not just there to come in and take over. We are always about sharing knowledge.
We got about 3 minutes left in this episode. I want to, because you mentioned the word passion. I mean, obviously, you're passionate about affordable housing. Are there any specific areas? We talked about homelessness, but is there any specific areas, for instance, veterans, that you have a passion for?
Yes. Veteran homelessness is my passion. We actually partner with the local VA here in Arizona. And we developed and designed some shirts that my team and I all wear to end homelessness for veterans. And part of the proceeds of those sales of the shirts goes to the VA to help their housing. My passion for helping veterans in homelessness stems from my former marriage. I was married to an active duty Air Force man, and I just working with these military families and seeing what we went through and that they're continuing to go through. It broke me to know that these individuals didn't have services then later on, that they were left homeless. And I wanted to make sure that this wasn't going to happen, that the men and women who gave their lives, they sacrificed their time, blood, sweat, and tears for our country, aren't living on the streets, that they have a roof over their head, that they have food in their bellies, that they have a warm bed to go to at night. And that's where it really stems from, is making sure those that gave so much for us have something given back to them.
Well, before we end the segment, I mean, this is a fascinating topic. It's something obviously that there's a great need for, but if someone wanted to reach out to you to get your advice or talk to you about consulting or just, you know, kind of pick your brain on some issues they have with their affordable properties, what's the best way for them to do that?
So they can reach out to us in many different ways. The best way is you can visit our website. That is junipercompliance.com. So that's J-U-N-I-P as in Peter, E-R, compliance.com. All one word. Otherwise, you can also email me at info@junipercompliance.com. Feel free to reach out to us. We are very good about responding back and happy to connect with you and see what we can do to help you and your team expand. That's one of our favorite things to do, is to connect with new individuals and continue this need for affordable housing.
Well, also on our website, on multifamilyradio.com, on this specific episode page, there will be a link to the Juniper Compliance website. You can always find them there as well. But Jenna, thank you so much for being on today. It's been great. Love to have you back again in the future to talk about more about this issue, because there is so much to cover. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.